So, do you hear me? Oh, that works. That's good. We don't have that, so I feel excited with that, to have that in my ear. It feels very important. So that's good. Yeah, I brought my wife, Miriam, my beautiful wife, my son, Jonathan Elijah. If you see him, he has the same haircut than me. That was not by... It grew like that. We didn't cut it like that. So, because everyone asks me, so I tell you before, so you don't have to ask me afterwards. So Eric, when we wrote about that day, he just told me to speak about like being Spirit-led, how to hear the Spirit, how to hear the Holy Spirit. I guess you all know God loves to speak to us. Amen? We say in Germany, amen, in the church. I just was in Africa, and they even say it more louder. I like that a lot. But feel free. You say whatever you think. So God loves to speak to us. He said, like, my children hear my voice. And that's true for every part of life, and that is my main point this morning. When I prayed about this time, I just felt God wants to excite you about who he is. I mean, he's awesome. What we just heard, just the fact that he paid on the cross for our sins, that he redeemed us, that we have eternal life, that's beautiful enough. We could worship him for all eternity just for that. But then it amazes me that it does not stop there. He comes into our everyday life and wants to guide us on everyday, very practical things. And we see that in the life of Jesus all the time. Amen? When you look in the book of John, right at the beginning, there is this wedding. I mean, you all heard of it, like the wedding. Is it Cana in English? Do you say Cana or Cana? Cana. So the wedding of Cana. And he turns water into wine. And I love that one verse in John 5:19, where it says, Jesus says, I'm only doing what I see the Father do. I mean, when you, I don't know if you can put the scriptures on there, because I thought I read it in German, but I thought that makes not much sense. So I read it in English. So he can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So just have this in mind. Take the New Testament, go into those stories, go to that wedding in Cana. The party went on for hours. They had wine. They had a lot of wine. They feasted. I mean, I'm not promoting wine here. I'm promoting that the Son only does what the Father does. So he's at that wedding, and like they had a lot of wine, and the party is almost, it's not over yet, and the wine starts, there is not enough wine. The people start to realize it. His mother realizes it. And so Jesus makes new wine. He takes water and turns it into wine. And I heard some, it was good French wine, so it was a really good wine. It was Bordeaux. It was not a bad wine. Like, it was how God is. He only does good things. Amen? So it shows me, like, it's very practical. It's not very eternal, that thing. It's just a party, and he saves the party. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I want you to see God speaks about eternal things. I give you a practical aspect. You just prayed it. He loves to turn us into his image. He wants that Christ, like that at the end of the days, we stand before his throne like blameless like he is. He wants us to be perfect like his Father is perfect. That's true. So God loves to speak about those things. I had with my wife a talk like 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, and she said to me, Christoph, you're not always honest. And I said, oh, that's not true. You're wrong. I don't lie. And she said, yeah, it's not lying. It's more this, sometimes you just make things straight, which are not really straight. I said, no, that's wrong. I mean, you're not right. But, I mean, every guy will tell you, listen to your wife. And the opposite is true as well. So when she was out of the room, I said, God, if this is true, if you see it that way, I mean, I think she's wrong. But if she's right, tell me. So I went to bed that night and I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw the following situation. I have a friend, Matt Lankenau, from European Initiative. And I saw him asking me, we live in a big house where the teams most of the time stay. And with different families, it's like a community house for teams to come. So we have a big parking lot. And in that dream, I was supposed to ask if Matt could park his boat. He had a boat in that dream. If he could park his boat on our parking lot. And so I said, yeah, no problem. I'm going to do that. So the weeks go by in that dream. And I'm in my living room. And I see, you can see the highway. And I see Matt coming with his boat from the highway. And when I see him coming down the street with his boat, like he's the truck and he has the boat behind him, I say, oh, man, I forgot to ask Nigel, who is the house owner, about the boat, if he can park his boat in our parking lot because he's the house owner. So I run down in that dream in the parking lot, and Matt comes, hey, Matt, great to see you. And I said, hey, I just thought about it, and I thought it's better if you would just park like the boat here at the street. It's better. And I gave him good explanations why it's better to park the boat out here on the street and not on our parking lot. And my reasons were even good. They were good. They were right. But I tricked him. I didn't say, sorry, I forgot it. I turned my mistake into a nice thing. I said, hey, I thought about it, and it's way better for you to park your boat out there. And it looked good for me. It looked like, oh, yeah, you were really taking care for me. You thought about it, and you took time, but I didn't. And so when I woke up, I said, oh, that's exactly how I am. I thought, that's exactly, I would have done it exactly this way. Oh, I was, how do you say, convicted from the Holy Spirit. It's so beautiful if the Holy Spirit convicts you. It's never condemnation. He loves to show us things. I mean, I felt loved, but I really felt convicted. And the next weeks, I saw it everywhere. In so many situations in my daily life, I said that, like a guy phones you, you know that, you see you cannot answer the phone, you forget to phone him back, I don't know if you know that. So you see him 2 hours later, he tells you, oh, I tried to phone you. I said, oh, really? Of course, I saw it. It's this nice thing. It's not lying. It's not really bad, but it's so cheeky. So I felt the Holy Spirit really convicted me. The Holy Spirit loves to talk to us in eternal aspects. He wants to transform us into that perfect image of Christ, blameless. And in his eyes, that's not blameless. It's cheeky. And he says, I love you, but that's not really, it's not true, truthful. So I want you to change. And even better, I change you. It's not you. Just accept it, you're like, that's why I said, Lord, you're right. I'm cheeky. I mean, what my wife said, she was right. That one time she was right. No, that's right. She's right a lot of times. I'm very thankful for her. So I knew he's right. So yes, it's about eternal aspects. But this wedding in Cana, that's not really eternal. And Jesus does the things, he only does the things he sees the Father doing. So there are things in the heart of the Father, they are so practical for your and my daily life, and that amazes me. I give you an example. We have friends, they wanted to invest in stock markets, like in a certain stock. And they had a lot of, like they took out a certain amount of money, it was a good amount of money, and they wanted to invest in that stock. And so everything was planned out. You say that stock, is that right, yeah? So that stock was very hyped at that time in Germany, so everyone thought, like, if you invest in that thing, you make a lot of money. So they wanted to invest in that as well. One morning, they sit at the breakfast table, and their son comes down. And he says, oh, I had a dream tonight. Like, and do you know, in Germany, the symbol for the stock market is a bull or an ox. Is it the same here? I don't know if it's like that. Like, it's like the cow with the horns, like, how do you, yeah, okay. I'm not good in biology, but so you can eat that thing as well, like, at least. So this animal, which is the symbol for the stock market, he had a dream about that animal. And in his dream, that animal ran and then fell into a trap, like a trap, like it was a trap. So he shares that dream with his parents in the morning. And I mean, if you are not used to how God speaks, and that's so important this morning, how does God speak? How do we hear what God is saying to us? How did Jesus know what the Father was saying? I mean, I could give you the 10-point sermon. This is how he speaks. And maybe I say one or two things how he speaks. He speaks through dreams. That's reality today. But it's much more important, do you recognize his voice if he speaks? I mean, my wife and I, we know each other. We could sit in a circle like with all those friends. And because I know her, she could laugh around. If I see that she would be angry or sad because of something, I know it. I mean, she does not have to say anything because we have an intimate relationship. I know her. I look at her and I know in a general what she's feeling. It's the same with me. Like, I can sit in a group and behave like very funny and very sovereign. She knows me. She knows when I'm insecure or when I'm burdened because of something. So it's all about a relationship. It's, yes, how does God speak? That's a good point in dreams or this or that. But the main point is, do you have a close relationship to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, that you recognize when he speaks to you? I mean, with that dream I just shared, you could have think, oh, that's a funny dream. Matthew doesn't even have a boat, and just cancel that. But it was not about the boat and Matthew, and it was about me and how I lived out that situation. So the parents, when the son comes down, he shares that dream with this trap, Is trap the right word, yeah? Yeah. So with this trap where the animal fall in, and they knew instantly that God speaks to them about their investment in the stock market with this stock. They knew it's a trap. It looks good, but it's not good to invest in that. And they decided to not put the money into that. And it was a good amount of money. So weeks went by, I guess, maybe 1-2 months, and suddenly this whole stock crashed. Like, and everyone lost so much money, and they didn't. And I think that's awesome, isn't it? You think that's awesome? I mean, is God interested in such things? Yes. I mean, do I play down the role that he really wants us to transform us in the image of Christ? Not at all. But he has so much more where he's interested to talk to us. Look in the life of Jesus. When you look in the life of Jesus, you see in what God is interested in. Peter needs the tax paid. So he goes to Jesus, hey, Jesus, we need to pay taxes. And Jesus thinks about it and says, yeah, go to the fish, open the mouth, and there is the money, and there is a coin, and pay the tax with it. And by the way, pay for me straight away as well. Like, so just pay my tax as well. So that's awesome. That's very practical. That's not very eternal. That's not very holy. That's not very spiritual. That's very down to earth. And God has an opinion about it. He says, Peter, I know how you can pay your tax. When I prayed that morning, I really felt God is encouraging some persons here. You think about a tax payment you have to do. I mean, I don't know how that runs in America, but I just felt in prayer that God encourages you. He takes care for that. Really, cast your burdens, your sorrows unto him. He's interested in you. Amen? He cares about you. Amen? It's beautiful. He cares about you. He knows you. We see it with Jesus sitting in a crowd, teaching the whole time, like I teach here. And at the end, he sees all those guys hungry. And he says, man, let's give them food. Really, just we all know those stories. When you grew up Christian, you have heard that 1,000 times, the story. But just think about that. Jesus, the best conference speaker you can ever have. Like, you don't have to pay me food. You don't have to give me anything if I can listen to your words, to your sermons, Jesus. But he preaches. Everyone is excited. But then at the end, he says, man, I just want to give you some food. Like, and he only does what he sees the Father do. So the holy, most holy, eternal creator who has 7 billion people to watch out, he thinks about that crowd of 5,000. Back then, they were not 7 billion. But he thinks about that crowd and thinks, man, they need some food. I mean, that speaks a language how God is, doesn't it? It speaks how much he's interested in you and in me. That's beautiful. I'm amazed when I read those stories because it shows me, yeah, he cares for me. He knows me. He knows what I need. Amen? Last year, I came to the States and we have an old car. And this old car became older and older every year. And really old then last year. And I felt bad of leaving because I hoped that Miri will do it and we got this new baby. I thought we need a new car. But we were in a situation like where we could not afford and just buy a new car. So I was here, I was busy, I was before in Africa. So I said, Lord, the money is an issue and I don't even have time to find one. And it's, I don't know how it is here. If I look for a car, then it takes time with me. I'm not fast in those things. So I told the Lord, we need some help. So when I was here, I was in a meeting and we talked about it and a guy prays for me and I said, hey, you know what? I just had that impression. God tells you like a car will just fall down from heaven. And so that's a funny picture. I hope it's not destroyed when it comes down. I flew home on a Tuesday night, and at the same time, a missionary from America who lives in Germany, he came in from Spain. We landed at the same time at the airport. He stays in our house. We walk up the stairway at the same time in our house, and he says, hey, I need to talk to you. I told him, I just come back from America. I want to see my family. Maybe we can talk tomorrow. So he said, okay, let's talk tomorrow because I fly out on Thursday already. So we meet him. I meet him on Wednesday, and he says, hey, I just wanted to ask you, we're leaving the country for at least 8 months. We have this very awesome, nice, beautiful car with 7 seats. The doors open automatically. It's all perfect. Do you have a need of it? And I said, oh, that's glorious. Yes, we need that. We really need that. And he flew out. So it was really, he dropped into Berlin for one day, released his car to us and left Berlin again. I mean, that was a picture. It just flew somehow from heaven. You need wisdom to discern if a word is literally or it's symbolic. It was symbolic. But I was very happy about that. So the end of the story, it was for 8 months. This August, the 8 months were over. I forgot the time totally. Beginning of August, I realized, we need something new now. And when I started to look for a car, I felt like God tells me, don't care. Like, I care for it. And as a responsible husband, and you are responsible, you want to take your responsibility as well. You don't want just to put it on God's side. You want to, I said, yes, but I feel like it's my need to look and take care for it. But every time I started to look or think about it, I felt, no, don't care, I care for it. So we left for Israel for a prayer house in October, and I guess 2 days before we leave, this missionary, he comes to Germany again, and he says, hey, like they have to ship back all their stuff. They need a lot of money, so they want to sell the car now. He told us before, we helped him, and because they need that money to ship their stuff back to America, they moved back to America as missionaries. And he tells me, the Holy Spirit told us very clearly to not care for the money we need. We just want to give you that car. And I mean, we sit there. He had tears in his eyes because it was a really step of faith. We had tears in our eyes how God cared for us, and that's beautiful. And why do I tell you that story? It's not about the car. It's not about finances. Not at all. It's about that the eternal God loves you and knows you and cares for you in all those big things, in all those eternal aspects, but also in this very practical, everyday aspects. Amen? Amen. So having heard that God loves to talk to us, and it's not about only about eternal things, it's about very practical things, I just want to finish with that last point. How does God speak to us? I mean, and I could give you, like I could teach hours about it, but Eric only gave me 25 minutes. I don't know if he heard the Lord about it. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. I'm so thankful that I can be here, I told you, and that's really a privilege for me. So I just give you some ideas. That's not the whole picture. It's just 2-3 thoughts, and there may be 10 other thoughts which you find in the Bible. The first one is God speaks, and I felt that is good to say that, about authority. When we go to the wedding of Cana, just go into that situation. It was not the archangel Gabriel who showed up and said, Jesus, turn water into wine. It was not even the Holy Spirit speaking very clearly to him. No, it was his mom, in a way, his authority, who said, hey, they have a problem, turn water into wine, like do something. She didn't say what to do, but she said, hey, do something. That shows us she knew that he was able to do something. I personally think because he did things like that at home, even before, not in public. They say it was the first public miracle. But maybe she made cake at home and there was no flour left and Jesus just made this and then there was flour. We don't know. We don't have to debate on it. If you have another opinion, that's okay. But she knew, I mean, it's not very logical that she goes to him when there is a need of wine and says, do something. It's she knew he was able to do so. And she even knew that God, the eternal, holy God, is willing to do such practical things. So he says, no, it's not my time. It would be a public miracle. It's not my time yet. And she just ignores that. That's kind as well. She says, okay, Jesus, do anyway what he tells you to do. So that means, Jesus, I don't care that you say no. Do it. And he was a good son. And he did it. He honored this authority. He saw what the father was doing by being obedient to his mom. It's the same with David. David, bring this bread to your brothers who are at the front line fighting against Goliath and his armies. And how interesting is this? David didn't say, sorry, I mean, you remember that? I'm the next king. I need to go to your royal university and be trained. And he said, okay, I just take the bread. It's the same with Paul. Jesus appears to him, calls him to the nation. He will write the most part of the New Testament. And when they need to bring money from the one city to the other one, they ask him to do it, and he just does it. He's not too important to honor authority. However big your call is, if an authority, your parents here in the school, wherever, tells you something, of course, if it's biblical, you honor that. And very often, it's the gate and the door to the next level. Like, David just brought the bread as anointed king. He was not too important. The Holy Spirit came upon him when he was anointed from Samuel and said it didn't leave him anymore. He was, from that day on, the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was not too important to bring the bread to the front lines. And it was exactly then when he met Goliath, and that was the next door which opened. And so he came into the house of the palace. And from then on, things started to happen. So if you honor authority, if your mom asks to clean the table, you don't have to say sorry. To pray about it, have a day of fasting. I only do what I see the Father doing, and to check if he wants to clean the table now. No, you just clean it. And it's the same when things are here in school. That's very normal. So God speaks through authority, very normal. God speaks because you know his heart. That's the second point. I just throw that out, and you are all clever enough to dig into the scriptures. I printed it out, Acts 17:11. It says, these, it talks about the church in, we had that last year, Berea. And it says, these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Oh, that's difficult. Thessalonica? Yeah, that's it. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So you just check the scriptures if it's true what I say. So, and if you think it's wrong, throw it away. If you see it, embrace it. Point one, you see what God is doing through authority. Point two, you see what God is doing because you know the heart of God. In the New Testament, there is not one person coming to Jesus for healing who leaves Jesus unhealed. Jesus say, if you see me, you see the Father. You see the one who has sent me. Jesus says in Colossians 1:15, it says, he is the picture, the image of the unseen God. If you see Jesus, you see the unseen God. In the book of Hebrew 1, verses 1, 2, 3, it says, he's the express image of God. That word in Greek is, he's the character of God. So when you watch Jesus, you see how God is. You see the nature, the character of the unseen God. So you know what God does if you know how he is, who he is. So how do you know? By observing Jesus. Read and meditate, bless you, the scriptures. And when you meditate the scriptures, and when you see the life of Jesus, you see how the eternal unseen God is. I say it in the context of healing. I felt that, to just share that with you. There is not one person in the New Testament coming to Jesus, asking for healing, who was not healed. Not everyone was healed straight. Sometimes Jesus debated with them. But at the end, everyone left healed. Everyone left delivered. Everyone left with a touch from God. There is not one situation where he said, yeah, there is this bigger, unseen, higher opinion why God does not want to act right now. You don't understand it right now. We have it in our churches. We have it in my church. We have it in Germany. But if the Bible is the truth, it's not one situation where Jesus shared this with the people who came to him. So when this woman comes out with her daughter dead, I don't know, you know the story. She cries. He sees it. He is moved with compassion. Did God speak sovereignly, wake her up? Or did he know the heart of God? And he knew a girl who dies with 3-5 years old, that's not the will of God. What is the will of God? Matthew 6:10, on earth as it is in heaven. There is no premature death in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. I mean, that is so radical when you think that through. We can embrace it. We can think about it. Think about it. I just tell you from my point of view what I experienced. Back where I'm from, since I embrace the fact that I know God loves to heal, I don't see any story where he didn't heal, where Jesus didn't heal. I see it in my churches where people don't get healed. And it's not my part to debate on it. But I see in Jesus' life, everyone who comes to him leaves him healed. When we started to embrace that as a local church, we see healings after healings every week in our services, like crazy. God heals people in a moment, sovereignly. It's beautiful to see that. It's very biblical. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So when you watch Jesus, you see the unseen God. You can see what the Father is doing by knowing him. How do you know him? By watching Jesus. What do you see in the life of Jesus? You see how he forgives, how he puts shame away, how he heals, how he delivers, how he wakes up the ones who died too early. Hey, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. My last point is this. I have 2 more minutes, then it's 25 minutes, and then I have 2 minutes to pray. Germans are organized. The Lord, I just shared that with you. The Lord loves to speak through dreams. And again, please dig in the scriptures. Check if what I say is in the Bible or not. If not, throw it away. Then you matured because you examined it and found out, no, it's not true. That is a sign of maturity. So you are allowed to dig in the scriptures and test and examine what I say. 1 Corinthians speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. I tell you from my life, I have that grace to work in the word of knowledge. That means I know informations about people I could not know in the natural. Jesus walked in it. The woman at the well, when she talks with him, she discusses, and he realizes, oh, I don't get through to her. So he just said, hey, bring your husband. And she says, I don't really have a husband. And she says, that's right. You had five. Now you have number six. And he's also not your husband. He's not condemning you, her. He's bringing that secret of her heart out to the light. And he tells you, see, you have a thirst in your heart. And nothing, no husband will fill it. Those five didn't fill it. Number six won't fill it. Number seven won't fill it. But I have a water. If you drink from that water, you will be satisfied. So he, where did he get the information? He didn't sneak her and stalk her and get that information. It was the Holy Spirit who told her. The Holy Spirit loves to give you insights. Honestly, the word of knowledge for me, it's most of the time concerning healing. Just recently, I taught at Bible school. Suddenly, in the sermon, the front of the right big toe of my right foot started to become very cold. So for me, the Holy Spirit speaks to me when he wants to heal. I feel in my body a sensation. I feel a short pain somewhere, or I feel heat or cold at a spot of my body. So I know the Lord wants to touch that and heal that. So I feel, for example, pain in my kidney. So I know the Lord wants to heal a kidney. I feel pain in my knee. I know the Lord wants to heal a knee. That's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? It's not for our sake. It's to glorify God, because God is so specific. Amen? We just talked about it. Hey, there is no wine at the wedding. Hey, there is the money you can pay your tax off. There is a car you need. He is not only in those eternal things. He is the lover of mankind, and he loves to heal the sick. So I was in that service, and the big toe, the front of the big toe of my right foot gets very, very cold. So I said, hey, I feel the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to heal the front of a right toe of a right big foot. And so it was not with a TV thing, so where you can say, oh, if you're not here, someone on TV needs to get healed. So no, it was those students. Either I heard him or I missed him. So a guy in front, he puts off his shoe and said, that's me. Like, he's excited. And his whole front of the, like, it was just, I felt it exactly in this front. This is totally inflamed. And since 2 years, he cannot touch it. He cannot cut it. He can do nothing about it. So we prayed 2 seconds, just very simply. We said, Lord, heal it in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, touch it now. He was totally pain-free in 2 seconds, totally. After 2 days, he came back. I taught there a whole week. And his whole front part of his big toe had new skin on it, and it was completely done. That's amazing. Dig the scripture if it's true. Find out if what I say is true. The Holy Spirit loves to talk through authority. He loves to talk because you just know his nature. One look of the eyes of my wife is sufficient. I know what she wants to tell me. I know her. Do you know the heart of God to reveal his nature? And the Holy Spirit loves to talk in a very supernatural way. Let's stand up. I just want to pray with you. While you stand, I just read you, if you want to write them down. It's in Acts 8. You know the story with Philip. The angel speaks to him, go to that street. You're going to find a man there. And then when he was on the street, suddenly he says the Spirit told him, go to this car. Like, talk to this man who is there. When Peter was on the roof in Acts 10 with Cornelius, it knocks at the door and it says, and suddenly the Spirit spoke to him, don't be afraid, go with those men. I sent them. I have no doubt. God loves to speak in a very specific way to you. And I just felt the Holy Spirit wants to release that to you. And so if you have the freedom, we all come from a different background. But if you want to, in a way, receive that, just open your heart. If this is good for you, just open your hands as a sign. You don't have to, but if you feel free, just open your sign. I just felt the Holy Spirit wants to release that grace to hear him in a more clear way. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are our comforter and our friend. Jesus told us it's good that he leaves us because he will come to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are our friend. You teach us. You remind us about everything what Jesus said. And you are the one who speaks clearly. We see it in the New Testament. Peter heard you clearly. Have no doubt, I sent them. That is specific. And Lord, I ask that you release that grace over each and everyone who is hungry for it, that we hear you in a more specific way. Lord, it's not about a technique. It's about a relationship. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, draw everyone into a closer relationship with Jesus, our King, the lover of our souls. Lord, bring us to your heart that we know how you speak to us, and even open in the realm of the Spirit a grace to receive from you in a more detailed way through dreams, through visions, through the word of God, through authority, through revelation about who you are. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I want just to give that scripture. In Hebrew, it says, we receive by faith. And everyone who seeks him must believe that he will be rewarded. So just believe that you received right now. You don't have to feel anything. Just if you ask him, trust that you received. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.